Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit. I'm delighted to welcome Patty Fevitt, author of The Making of a Mystic, who states, there's a modern mystic in everyone, as the heart and soul of each of us calls out for us to remember our connection to each other, love, and universal source. Hello, Patty, and welcome.
Hello, how are you doing? I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, we're going to have a very amusing and lovely show. Patty, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I share our experiences and the ways we have awakened to the greater reality that we are more than our physical bodies, and as eternal energy beings may finally reach our human potential when we use intuition, our inner instincts, and a new sense of awareness of universal forces, so we can begin to know ourselves more intimately, combining all aspects of our mind, body, and spirit for creating our best version of self and our world communities. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Patty Fevitt, also author of When Life Cried Out, in her newest book, The Making of a Mystic, shares how, quite unexpectedly and to her astonishment, through pen and paper, while meditating deeply one day, she received an answer to a question that had plagued her all her life. Recognizing divine love in self, others, and nature, she shows us how we may be guided through the deepest meanings of a mystical connection and discover some very profound truths about a universal way to reach our greatest potential, transforming and transitioning from the illusions many of us pay homage to recognize beauty, love, integrity, among other virtuous qualities, are the fabric of our real inner soul nature. Patty, I always ask my guests to think back to a moment in their childhood that is meaningful to them.
I probably would have to say it is not a person. I was born in the Deep South, and the word intuition was never mentioned. Although I was born a very intuitive, very sensitive child, intuition was never mentioned in my family. It was not believed of. It was thought of by my grandmother as the work of the devil. So I cannot say growing up I had a person that was influential. Growing up, I had an oak tree that was influential.
Oh, you had a special spot, place.
I did have a special spot. I had a little garden outside. I grew pansies and I grew daffodils in my little garden, and Mama would take me to the store and I would pick out the pansies and plant them myself. And I picked them out by how the little faces, they weren't hybrid back then, by how the little dark places would look like faces to me. And so to me as a young child, the plants were very, very real. They were very personable. They had a spirit, and I had an oak tree that was given to my father when I was born. It was planted supposedly on the day I was born. It was, and even if it wasn't, it was a nice story, and it was what I was told. And an oak tree, and I had many special moments. Yes, trees don't talk. They don't say words. But if you're very still and very quiet, then you know it's alive, and you know the leaves rustling are hugs, and you know the leaves go through change, and you know the tree grows, and you know the tree is just as part of God's spirit as you are. And it's, even if that is beyond the wording of a 6-year-old, 9-year-old child, you just know.
Well, there it is.
That's where I was.
And that's your, and there it is. That was your intuition, your knowing, your messages from higher source. That was the way they spoke to you. And I also came from a family that didn't talk about intuition or connecting to a higher energy or eternal life or any of the ideas that I have come to value, to trust, to have greatest faith in, and to not believe as a belief system, but just to know, as you knew, that tree was a living part of the divine spirit of universal source, and that we're all connected to in energy. So you were sensitive and I was sensitive, and it's a great gift. We all have it to some level, and we do have to take responsibility and be conscientious in developing it if we choose, if it's what we choose to do. Now, tell us how a charming and very docile daughter and wife, as so many women of your generation, doing what everybody expected of you, found yourself at one point paralyzed with anxiety and in a dysfunctional marriage. I have found that many of the healers or sensitives that come onto the show are more affected by the negative energy of people, places, and events, and have to learn ways to manage this gift of feeling or being very empathic, so that they can use their great gifts.
As a child, Cheryl, I put away my intuition. It disappeared in the back of my psyche, or I like to say in the back of my heart. It just disappeared until middle life. I was in my late 40s, early 50s when it came back, and it came back with a force that just had to be contended with. And, for instance, when the husband at that time, it was not a very pleasant marriage for me, but the husband at that time, when he would start to come home, all of a sudden I would start to, when he was arriving home, I would start to smell his aftershave. And it took me a time or two to know. And then I would stop my writing, I would go up, and I would act the role of a wife. You know, my roles took over my life. I was living life from the outside in instead of the inside out. And I know your listeners know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes, and so do I. Exactly.
Yeah, I know they do. And I lost myself. I began to have panic attacks. I got to the point where I was agoraphobic. And yet my intuition was screaming, there's another way, there's another way. And I would know who was calling on the phone before it rang. There was the smells. And I am an empath. I did not know it. I always wondered what was wrong with me, but I discovered what that meant. I feel. My major intuition is feeling. I can be in a room with different people, and I can zero in on each one, and I can feel what's going on with them, and I had to translate it into words. And right now, it's a beautiful gift. Back then, it was a problem. It was confusing.
We could be twins in discovering this the way we did, and the feelings. And it is very challenging when you think that it's you that is having the anxiety, when often you're just picking up other people's emotional states and reacting. And before you understand that, it is very challenging. You do think it's you, but very often it's what's going on around you and with other people's limited approach to life. And you being a person who wanted to explore it fully with this beautiful gift and this beautiful spirit, you were being impinged on by people who had a different reality of the ego, perhaps, of the world, the physical, materialistic world, and you wanted to go deeper within to know yourself better. So I do tremendously understand it, and you have just verbalized it so well. Now, why did you feel it necessary to write The Making of a Mystic? And tell us about the process of writing your memoir.
Okay, I started the memoir. I had a lot of trauma as the divorce ended. There was a lot of trauma, and I always felt like I needed to write it. I have since learned, and I don't write about the trauma in When Life Cried Out, the first book, the memoir. I don't write about the trauma. I write about the healing, how my intuition led me to go to this place or the other place. And I had an editor with that book. And to get back to your question, with my first book, I had an editor who I met accidentally, and I have accidentally with coincidentally with quotes around that, because it was no accident that I met this man.
Of course anyway, not. Nothing is random.
And I had several of my, I call them my question and answer sessions. I would write something at the top of the page, and I would hear Spirit's voice, and I would write the voice and write the answer to my question. I call it Psychology 101, Spiritual Psychology 101 is actually what it is. He picks up the phone one day after reading one or two of these in that first book, and he said, "How many of these have you got?" I said, "Well, they changed over the years. They went from question and answer sessions, you know, to speaking to trees, and then all nature, it's all God." And he said, "How many have you got?" I said, "I don't know, 150, 125. And there was this dead silence on the other end of the phone. And he said, do you know how powerful these are? Well, no, I didn't. It was just my private little world. And he said, you know how powerful he are? He said, lady, that's your book. What would you call it? And off the top of my head, I said, Making of a Mystic. Writing is a form of spiritual emergence, because that's what I was doing. He said, start writing that. And while the memoir to the first book, When Life Cried Out, took me 4 years to pull that out of my psyche, and so the Making of a Mystic, I got it all together in 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
It was the book that was meant to be.
All right, but it was there, and you had been journaling and gathering the material. Then it was just a point of finding someone who could help you, who found you, and then it all came together. Now, you mentioned many topics that you questioned your guides or spiritual people or energies or angels or God himself about, and they included purpose, God, truth, soulful listening, neediness, seeking personal reflection, conscious choice. I love the topics, and which one would you like to describe that was very meaningful to you?
I would like to describe the very first one. It's in the first part of that, in that first section. I call it castles when I'm writing, but it was the answer to my first, the first time this happened, I did not do it purposefully. I was going to an energy healer who knew my intuition had been blocked in childhood, and she said, come to a course I'm having. She was taking, getting a doctorate in energy medicine, and she was having one of the courses in her house, and so I went. And she bribed me with some free treatments, and so, all right, now I'm following my money, and I went. And there were 11 of the most intuitive ladies I have ever seen in my life in one place, and unlike me, they thought it was natural. I thought it was something scary. But I went through the exercises that our instructor, Tina, led us through, and I was surprised that I could do them. Well, she had taught us how to go into an altered state, how to watch our breathing, and she had told us with this exercise that you're asking about, she told us to go into a quiet corner of our host's room and write a question that has plagued us all of our life. And then receive the answer, and it may come, you know, through the different forms of intuition. You know, may come with a vision, or may come with hearing, or whatever. And so I thought, well, and she coerced me, said at least give it a try. I expected nothing. I had no expectations whatsoever. And so I went and I wrote my question at the top of the paper, and it was, why do I never feel good enough? There it was. The question of my soul, what my soul came to learn this lifetime, there it was at the top of my paper. I still had the paper in my lap, legal yellow tablet, and still had my pen. Well, I went into altered state still holding the pen, and the next thing I knew, my hand was writing at the top of the page, it was writing at the bottom of the page, it skipped to the middle of the page, and then it began to fill in pieces of sentences, eventually making sentences. And it was an answer to my question. It was a beautiful, beautiful answer to my question, which basically said, I have been looking at other people as though they were castles resplendent in joy, and it, you know, resplendent and better than I was, and that my body is a castle and it houses me as soul, and I am perfectly fine. And it changed my life, Cheryl. It just changed my life. And that's how the first one happened. When I went back, finally, Tina had to coerce me to go back because I was crying. When I went back, she said, will you read what you wrote? And when I read it, I read it for the first time. And like I said, it changed my life. 6 people immediately wanted copies of it, because they said it could change the lives of our clients. They all had clients. I was the client, you know. And that's how it started.
You know, I have what you wrote right in front of me. I'm just going to read the last paragraph of it. It says what you just said, but I'm going to read it for our audience. You are your own castle, and it houses your soul. You know that your soul is the precious part of God, returned when your journey is over. Live in your castle and feel its importance. If it is good enough for God to house part of God's self, is it not good enough for you? Blossom with your time on earth, and be not pressed by judgmental stones. Leave the stones where they fall, and breathe your journey with trust and patience. Your own castle shines. And that is the truth. You know, long ago, I said to a friend, I'm a Reiki intuitive healer.
Yes.
I do energy work. I know you're aware of that. And I've been in groups like you have been, where the power of the people together create a connection so fine that it brings us up all to a different vibration and level of our own gifts. So I know just what you were describing there. But I walked by a friend who was having so many difficulties, and he would say, well, I don't want to go through this experience. I said, every experience is an opportunity for you to grow and to go beyond it, and you have exactly what you need to fulfill your life plan. Don't think about what you don't have. Be grateful for who you are and what you have. So we're saying the same thing here, and people have got to learn it's not good or bad, our experiences. They just are experiences, and we need to continue to learn and grow from them. And that makes life easier if you can get that concept under your belt.
It does. And one of the things, Cheryl, that I had to learn was that there is whatever you want to call it, a higher consciousness, a higher power, call it God, call it whatever you want to call it. There's some spirit, there's something out there that you are part of that wants the best for you, that wants you to live and love and laugh and know yourself as a sacred story and your life as a sacred story. And all you have to do is be willing, be open, trust it, and surrender.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely beautifully said. Now, Patty, you have traveled the world extensively and experienced metaphysical revelations. Can you tell us of one of the journeys? I know you've been in Ireland and Auschwitz and Malta and the Great Pyramid of Giza. So tell us about a place you went and an experience you had there. Because places hold energy. And when we go there, sometimes, if it's right for us, we have a great vision or feeling or something that lifts us up to another level of our development.
One of the times I went to the Hill of Tara in Ireland, and I had a traveling companion. We walked around and wondered. I wondered why I felt like I needed to go, but there I was, and what is this about? And I saw the two, I forget what they're called, but the two stones that were there, and they distinctly felt male and female to me. And it's a very, very, very old site, Neolithic or Paleolithic. It's very old. And I was standing on this hill in Ireland and looking around, trying to think, you know, trying to figure out why I intuitively felt I needed to be there. And I look across the valley, across a couple of expressways, and there at the top of the hill, I see an old ruins of an old church. And without a shadow of a doubt, I said, that's where I need to be. That's where I need to be. There was no doubt in my mind, in my body, in my cells. That's where I need to be. We got in the car, we bebopped up, we figured out where it was, and I got there. It's called the Church at Screen, S-K-R-E-E-N, if somebody out there wants to look it up. But anyway, that's what it's called. And so I got there, and it was the ruins of a church. It was just some of the walls. And so I got out, we climbed up and the ball and went through the little gate, and we were sitting there, and my traveling companion went his way and I went my way, and I felt a presence that was very, very strong, and it felt like a very, very holy place to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was a holy place, this type of feeling. This was one of the first times I ever had this type of feeling in a place. And I could almost hear chanting of robed monks, if that makes any sense to anybody. I could almost hear that. It was an intuitive thing. And the sun was beginning to set, and I went to the back of the church and sat down to meditate and just sit there to open up to the experience. And that's what so many of us have to learn to do, open up to the experience. Don't try to dictate what the experience is going to be. Just open up. Let it talk to you. And so I opened up to the experience, and I was aware of a robed monk from the other side that was telling me more by feeling than it was by words. You know, I didn't hear the whispers. It was more by feeling that to open up that I am in a holy place, that my life is holy, that life has sunsets and sunrises, and I look at this beautiful sunset that was right in front of me across the hills of Ireland, and I felt so connected, very, very more connected than I have ever felt before.
Yes, you know, a moment like that is a moment of true joy, and I have had those moments. It's not all the time, and you don't need it all the time, because it stays with you, and it gives you a greater trust and faith in our plan, in our life force, in this universal extension of us that we're all part of. And once you have it, you never lose it. It's part of you forever. Now, I see you have a degree in metaphysics. Many of our listeners may not really have a clear idea of what that word means and what a mystic is. So tell us a little something about that.
Metaphysics, it's simply put, it's looking beyond the obvious for deeper truths. And a person who's into metaphysics is a person who has learned how to live as a mystic. I call it a modern mystic here on this earth. You look and you know that the trees right outside this window, they're part of spirit. They're part of God's grace, if you want to put it in a southern term. They're part of God's grace. It's God expressing itself as a tree. Is the tree all there is of God? Oh, no, 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 no. But you are part of that world. That world is part of you, and you are all part of something bigger and holier and wonderful. And a modern mystics, we are aware of this connection when we're standing at the kitchen sink washing dishes. We
yes.
are aware when we're standing in line at the grocery store, when somebody honks their horn at us in like a road rage or whatever. We are aware that the person having the road rage is still part of this wonderful, wonderful story. They've just temporarily forgotten it.
Absolutely. So a mystic is a person who has had a direct connection with the presence of God and is therefore deeply transformed. And you wrote this.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
You wrote this, and you also wrote, although we may have read of saints and prophets who have had a direct experience of God, this divine presence can be known to each of us every day if we simply be still enough to allow it to present itself. And that's a beautiful truth. And for our listeners out there, we don't really have to do anything more than pay attention and begin to notice the coincidences, the synchronicity, the messages, the love that is all around there. If we can stop being so involved with thinking and blame and judgment and all the negative emotions, and we can get to a place of stillness and observing the beauty in this world, I think it'll bring us all to a new level, and the world will resonate at a level of beauty and integrity that it has not known for a long time. So I want to thank you, Patty Feavitt, author of When Life Cried Out and The Making of a Mystic, for sharing your awakening process as you sought spiritual guidance and an authentic life, and in the process discovered worlds of possibility for infinite creation, where you were gifted by spirit with the process of automatic writing, where you needed the answer to a question and found it. To purchase these books, go to Patty Feivet, FIEVET.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have seen once again that God is in all things, and all things are in God. I say it slightly different in my book, The Living Spirit, but mean exactly the same thing. We can find joy in the knowledge that what comes from the Spirit goes back to the Spirit in a form of consciousness that survives beyond our physical death. Our lives, our experiences, and all that surrounds us are part of a divine plan, and at the end of the day, we are not alone. Patty received a divine revelation through automatic writing that each of us has the capacity to receive messages from God. We have all been given talents. We are all wired to receive messages from the Holy, and we all have the divine right to do so. In the Bible, it is quite prevalent to read how God revealed wisdom and reassurance to humanity in different ways. Patty goes on to say, "It can happen to all of us, not just to a selected few." Cheryl and Patty would have you realize that as you work with your intuition, which is the language of the soul, your gut feeling and dreams, and find greater joy in your life, you will raise your vibration and connection to source and universal energy. And the experiences and confidence you develop through this connection will help you be aware of the oneness aspect of your life, as well as all of life, and to nature and every living person. True love, joy, and kindness will be the qualities you absorb and add to your inner awareness of self and the divine. Try to believe in yourself and the divine spark of eternal life within you, and you may find answers to your wondrous and deepest questions. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn about the metaphysical, spiritual, scientific, medical, and religious approaches to answering age-old questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? And why are we experiencing this physical life? And to listen to new and archived radio shows by leaders in these fields, go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.